The gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. If you were here last Sunday, you heard me ask you to prepare for today's sermon by reading chapter 3, verse 2 through 22, which tells about Jesus' baptism and the work of John the Baptist. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands to see if anybody has done that, but I hope you did. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. About 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Jesus' physical baptism and God's entrance into the world as a baby. Today, we celebrated Spencer's baptism, and in a little while, we will have the opportunity to reaffirm our spiritual birth in baptism and God's invitation to each of us to enter into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. The foundational point of God's purpose for coming into this world as Jesus was to save us from our sins and to offer each one of us the gift of salvation and eternal life and a new relationship with God and each other. In fact, God's plan from the very beginning of time has been for us to be restored into a right relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot restore that relationship. Nothing we can do can restore that relationship, not by our works, not by our level of giving, not by our community involvement, our work on church committees or attendance, not even by our charming personalities. Only God can restore that right relationship. And God does that through grace and because he wants to, not because he has to. All through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, are accounts of how God takes the initiative and reaches out to people and invites us into a new life. Baptism is the first step of our public acceptance of Christ. God's prevenient grace brought each of us to that place, or your parents brought you to the place, where you first became part of the church. When you are baptized, all of the power of God comes upon you. When we're baptized, regardless of our age, as young or as old as we might be, we become part of God's family. We become part of God's body, which is the church. From the moment you are baptized as a baby, the Spirit of God surrounds you and leads you to a point of repentance and personal decision about Jesus. In the United Methodist Church, we call this prevenient grace. When you receive the sacrament of baptism at an older age, or when you confirm those vows that your parents made on your behalf, God has already surrounded you. And God brings you to the place where you're ready by your own decision to receive Jesus as your Savior. the United Methodist Church calls this justifying grace. And then God's Spirit continues to work in your life and through the lives of other Christians to help you to grow and mature as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in the Methodist Church, we call this sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the refining fire of the Holy Spirit who tests our commitment and purifies us of the sinful residue that we must overcome on a daily basis. This involves a degree of personal suffering. This is a lifelong, ongoing process of dying to sin and being raised to new life with Christ. God is sanctifying us. He is making us holy in our thoughts and in our words and in our actions. As I think about this, I believe this dying to sin and raising to life with Christ is best illustrated by the story of two young boys, normally very bad little boys, who were famous for misbehaving in public. And their new baby sister was being baptized that Sunday. They were sitting in the front pew. Their father had told them they were going to be good in church that day or else. They knew that Dad meant business this time. As the two boys sat, well-behaved, very quiet, very attentive, the one boy whispered to the other, "This is killing me." Each time we obey God in a situation that's not easy for us, a part of our sinful self dies and leaves room for more of God's grace to enter into our hearts. God is sanctifying us. God is making us holy in our thoughts and our words and our actions. It's that refining fire that purifies us by God and for God. When we are baptized into the family of God, we are baptized into a purpose. That purpose is to praise and to glorify, to honor and to serve the one true living God. Eventually, our purpose becomes the same as God's purpose, and that is to introduce other people to Jesus and to teach and to model and to live before them how to be disciples. The church grows. One soul at a time. That's the purpose of the church. That's the mission of the church. That's our job as Christ followers. When we are baptized, we are adopted into God's family. God is the primary person at work, and it is God who wants us and who loves us and who plans for us to be part of His family. Through your baptism, you have been named child of God. You were not born a child of God. You were made in God's image. Through your baptism, you have been named child of God. As we remember that we have been baptized, we claim the identity as children of God. Amen. Loved and able to love. Forgiven and able to forgive, reunited with God and expected to be a witness that you are a child of God and live in obedience to God. Our obedient witness will encourage others to seek God. So instead of identifying ourselves by our titles or by our occupations, or our hobbies, or even our limitations, we begin to identify ourselves as Christ followers. That means we continue to strive to be like Christ in all of our daily activities so that God gets the credit, so that God gets the recognition for what we do. And the best way for any of us to imitate Christ is to adopt a willing attitude which is ready to reach out to the spiritual and physical needs of others, especially those whom God leads to have cross our paths. We must turn to God for help. We must turn to others for help. I want you to listen again to God's words of reassurance that come to us through the prophet Isaiah. These words are not just for Israel, but for all those who choose to put their faith in Jesus, God's only Son. And as I read this from Isaiah, I want you to put your name in here. Put yourself in this scripture. But now, this is what the Lord says. He has created you. Put your name in there. He has created you. He has formed you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. That's God's promise. None of us know what the future will hold. But through Christ, we know the one who holds the future. Do not be afraid, for God is with you. Christ is the firm foundation who will hold your faith. He will settle your nerves. He will help you face the future with confidence and the blessed assurance that God is still in control of everything. Remember the words of the angel to Mary. With God, all things are possible. God has claimed you as his people. Jesus, God's only Son, has restored you to a right relationship with God. You have promised to serve God as part of the church in union with all other Christians, and you've pledged your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service to the sharing of the grace and the love of God. Thanks be to God. Back in 2008, at the General Conference, two new words were added to the baptismal vows. Your witness. Boy, does your witness count. So now, when people are received into the Christian faith through baptism and membership, our vows to serve God are through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So that in everything, God gets the glory through Christ Jesus. So don't be afraid. God is with you, and God surrounds you, and God loves you, and God will provide for you all that you need as you claim the name of Jesus and grow in your maturity and in your identity as a child of God. There's seven easy steps 7 easy steps to make it happen. The first one is turn to God for direction. The second one is read your Bible. 3 chapters a day will get you through the Bible in a year. Number 3, pray. Talk to God as you would with the only friend who knows everything about you and still loves you. 4, be present. Come to church. Worship God with others. Number 5, give. Give with your time, give with your tithe, give with your abilities, give with your wholeheartedness. Number 6, serve. Not just here on the committees of the church, but serve God wherever you are and in whatever you are doing. And 7, witness. Witness with your words and actions because they count. Boy, do they count. How you live, what you say are all testimony to your faith. It's a testimony that's recorded in heaven. Remember your promise to love God and your neighbor because God first loved you. God goes before you and walks with you each and every day and in every place you go to cheer you and to guide you and encourage you. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you've never invited Him into your life, you can do it right now. If you're not sure that you're a Christian, now is the perfect time to make sure. Just ask Jesus to be your Lord and in charge of your life and help you to turn away from your sins so that you can live forever with Him in heaven. Just pray. He's the friend who knows all about you and loves you more than anyone. Jesus is only a prayer away. Well, that's today's sermon, and that's all I have to say about that. Glory to God. Now, for next Sunday, the message is about Jesus' first miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and you can read about that in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Do take time to read your Bible. It's a pretty good book. As I said earlier in the service, we have the opportunity now to renew our vows of baptism and membership in the church. In the United Methodist Church, we do not practice rebaptism because baptism is a covenant relationship that God initiates,